Shout a Jericho destroying, hallelujah. Let's rise up on our feet, please, as we close our eyes and raise up our two hands to the Lord and pray for ourselves loud and clear in this song. Holy Ghost, you reign again. You reign in my life.
Chant to the heavens, beloved, and say this loud and clear. Every power assigned to trouble my Israel this year, the God of Elijah shall trouble you today. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and begin to declare it. The God of Elijah shall trouble you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Wonderful God, we thank you for this wonderful evening. And we praise your holy name for bringing us here. What a mighty God we serve. We thank you for the manifestation of your grace and your power. The manifestation of your love and your care. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Open our understanding. Let there be no one here who will go in empty-handed. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Shout it loud and believe. Amen. Tonight I'd like to be very attentive because this is not the kind of message you hear very often. So it's better for you to be very attentive and to follow up what we're going to say from here. And when the time comes for the prayers, which can happen at any time, you should be ready to pray. Tonight we are looking at what we call financial deliverance. Financial deliverance. If you like, you can call it the crucifixion of poverty. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Luke 4:18. Jesus was reading from the book of Isaiah. Luke 4:18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So because he has anointed me to, number one, preach the gospel to the poor. Number two, to heal the brokenhearted. Four, to preach deliverance to the captives. 5, to preach recovery of sight to the blind. 6, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And the last but not the least, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. But notice that when that Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and he has been anointed, the first thing that anointing does there has something to do with poverty. To preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus came to break the backbone of poverty. To preach the gospel to the poor. And when we say poor there, we mean poor in all ramifications. Spiritually poor, physically poor, materially poor. It is all poverty. Whether it's in material, it's in physical, or it's in spiritual. He has been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. It is on record that every country where the gospel was the foundation of it, they are prosperous. Any country where they give the gospel a free flow, there is always prosperity. Prosperity is attached to the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Let's establish this very well. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, for my sake, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Financial deliverance. And when we're talking about finance, we're talking about money. Now look at somebody. Again, in the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew 27, look at somebody in verse 5. Judas Iscariot. Matthew, chapter 27, verse 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Money has put that fellow too in trouble. So we now have to strike a balance. What is money? Money is paper and coins with value printed on it. Money is the most acceptable form of exchange. Money is your sweat, your energy, your gift, and your blood. When we say financial deliverance, we are talking about 7 different things. Number 1, we are talking about freedom from debt. Freedom from debt. Number 2, we are talking about eating what you want and not what you see. There is a difference between the two. 3, we are talking about not being dependent on your parents or others for livelihood or sustenance. Number 4, we're talking about adequate provision for yourself and your family. Number 5, we're talking about having the basic need of life met. Food, clothing, shelter. And we're talking about financial deliverance, what we're talking about. 6, we're talking about having more income than expenditure. And 7, we're talking about being able to lend and not borrow. So when we talk about financial deliverance, we're talking about those 7 things. And there are people here tonight, if they will play with holy violence and holy anger, the chain of debt the enemy has tied around their necks shall be broken. So we're talking about freedom from debt, eating what you want, not what you see. We're talking about not being dependent on your parents for livelihood and sustenance. We're talking about being able to provide adequately for yourself and your family. We're talking about having the basic needs of life met. Food, clothing, shelter. We're talking about more income than expenditure. We're talking about being able to learn and not borrow. I want you to understand that one. I also want you to know that money has put human beings into a battle that has no end. Since men came into this world, men have been pursuing money. To many lives, money has turned itself into the greatest idol. Majority have been captured by the school of money worshippers. Many have gone to places they should not have gone because of money. Many have eaten and swallowed what they should not really eat or swallow because of money. Many have been suffering in strange lands because of money. Sometimes when we travel abroad, we feel sorry for many Nigerians who are struggling, sweating, and dying away in foreign lands because of money. The other time a Nigerian woman fell down and died right there at a market in London. By the time they researched her pockets, they found 4 different ID cards. This woman worked in 4 places per day. Money is a deceiver, and money gives sicknesses that nobody can remove. Money is a confusionist, because those who don't have it, they are complaining that they are in trouble. And those who have it too are also complaining. Money has deceived many girls into breaking their virginity in shame. Money has made people to suck human blood. And even so many great men of God, money has changed their vision. Money has sent so many people into innocent and untimely grave. Money has turned many women into widows and has turned many children to orphans. Because money has this caging influence, this dominating evil power. It has this destructive hand that can hold a person, simply because money is controlled by a spirit called mammon. And until we know how to deal with this kind of things, it is difficult for 3 riches to come to us. I want you to understand, beloved, that your life is more than money. Adam in the garden did not have money, but all his needs were met. I want you to understand this, beloved. There are so many of us who cling to money as if it will last forever. You might money in this world and you one day leave it behind. You should therefore not allow money to dispatch you out of this world before your time. Money is made for you, you are not made for it. As I'm standing here now, I have a long list of the so-called men of God that money has destroyed their calling. Money has destroyed the destiny of so many people too. For if not, how can somebody kill his own wife because of money? How can someone kill his own mother and take the head because of money? Money can put you into direct confrontation with your destiny. No wonder the Bible says it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Quick money is quick death. But when you are hardworking and you are patient, God will bless you. And you should not gather the wealth of sorrow. I'm saying this so that we can finish the first aspect of this thing today. Because the first deliverance that many people need is the deliverance from the grip of mammon. It has gripped them so hard. You cannot order the sun to rise before its time. You should not do any wrong thing in order to get money. If you do, you and your generation will regret it. There has never been any peace in wrong money. Money has a voice. To listen to its voice is to marry a cobra. Money is an ancient power and is strong and deceitful. Money controls fools and makes them to do all kinds of evil things. Most times, if you see people fighting in the church and they split the church into 2 or 3, you can be sure that it's money. There is nothing else. In the church I was going before, we didn't begin to fight until our offering got to 700 naira. When it was 1500 naira, nobody was fighting. Money has collected blood from individuals and their relations. Money has deceived kings. It has confused nations. It has converted innocent people to murderers. It has separated friends and relatives. Money has removed trust from so many homes. And beloved, more than anything, money has sent millions to hellfire. It has made many girls and women to be sexually mad, selling their bodies to animals. The last crusade we had in Rome, there were 3 sisters that came for counseling. So what do you do here? Said, I walk the street. You walk the street? Why are you walking the street? Because you need money. And as somebody brought her there, come and walk the street. And she needs to raise money to settle that person so she can continue walking the street and putting the money in her pocket. Some of these people had jobs in Nigeria. Some of them were in school in Nigeria. But they want quick, big, fast money. And the money parents from Nigeria will send them juju and all kinds of voodoo power there so that they can prosper in it, in the business of prostitution. So what I'm saying is that money that does not come from God is not a blessing because of this spiritual force called mammon. What we are telling you tonight is this. If you are a Christian and you are still in the grip of mammon, and you have not been delivered from it, poverty stays with the person permanently. The spirit of mammon is more responsible for distributing poverty. It is the spirit that regulates greed, selfishness, and all kinds of inordinate desire for mammon. None of us have to bind this, the power of this demon in our lives. When somebody is under the grip of the spirit of mammon, the first thing you notice about them is inordinate love for money. They put money on the ground. They are ready to tell all forms of lies to obtain money. They are ready to do academic fraud and accounting fraud in order to get money. Once you are still like that, the true riches of God will run away. When somebody loves money so much, and any time they are talking, and they say money, your temperature goes up, then you are still in the grip of mammon. If you can tell lies to get money, then you are still collecting the wealth of sorrow. So if somebody has this inordinate love for money, then you are still under the grip of mammon. Two, if losing money is like losing your person, then you are still under the grip of mammon. Three, if you are overestimating the power of money, then you are still in the grip of mammon. Because even those who are very wealthy, they are shocked to discover that there are some things money cannot buy. Those who don't have the money imagine that anything can be bought. But it's not everything money can buy. Four, if the money controls your action, and if when they say money like this, you can bow to unscriptural circumstances, you can conform to the world because money is involved, then it means you have really not been delivered from the world. It is then that money is controlling you. This world is already judged. And I want you to understand it very well. Do you have an inward crave for money? Are you dissatisfied because of money? Do you go worrying about how to make more money? If your answer is yes, you should seek for deliverance from the hand and the grip of the spirit of mammon. This is a serious matter. Because if you focus on making money, and you don't focus on making heaven, you become materialistic. If you don't care about how it is made, you just want it. It is still the grip of mammon. It is unfortunate that in many places of work, sometimes when they begin to arrest people who are into fraud, so-called born-again Christians are arrested as well for fraud. The truth, however, is that all the quick money goes away very quickly. And all this life on a fast lane usually ends up very fast. Stealing, illegal work, cheating, defrauding, misappropriation, occultic covenants, the money sacrifices, armed or pen robberies, 419, all the ungodly way of getting money, it is the grip of the spirit of mammon. The Bible tells us that the power to get wealth comes from God, and He wants us to be financially free. Jesus did not only die to save us from sin, He also came to save us from poverty. God can make you wealthy, either by giving you money or by supplying your needs. Like I said, He supplied the needs of Adam, and He didn't give Adam money, but to supply his needs. Tonight, you and I have prayers to pray, and we need to examine our lives. If God has apportioned wealth to you, and you go and add a little bit of unrighteousness to the way you seek your wealth, the result is that you will miss that divine wealth. And if the person is not careful, you will not touch that wealth till you die. There are thousands of people who come for counseling. The moment you see them, you find that the anointing to get wealth was bound with them, but it has been taken away. There was a woman that I met in years, in the United States of America. If she was standing here, and if somebody is broke, and you want to know who do you go to now to beg for money, the way she looks and the way she carries herself, she's the one you will go to. But she doesn't have one cent. Nothing. Anywhere she goes, they believe she's very rich. But people go to her and start to the trap and borrow money. They announce the person who said, "I have not eaten breakfast." They are not doing upon her. But the enemy has buried it. Can you close your eyes, beloved? And shout this louder than anyone around you. Every power anointed to bury my wealth Can you say this with boiling anger? Liar and liar! Go! In the name of Jesus! Saints, you told me anger. That's right. Masukaya boshente raboko sentia. Ribosopende kaya boshente raba. The saints, Jesus is here. I is able to deliver you completely. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Do we need financial deliverance? The first reason is to have a full and fulfilled life. Second reason why we need financial deliverance is to manifest the glory of God. Third reason why you need financial deliverance is to appropriate your redemption rights. Fourth reason why we need financial deliverance is because the destiny of many people are attached to us and we need to carry their burden. Fifth reason why we need financial deliverance is for us to be able to further the things of the kingdom of God. The sixth reason why we need financial deliverance is because poverty is demonic and is a killer. Poverty can kill. Poverty does kill. Do you know that millions of people die of malaria every year? Whereas if poverty is removed, malaria will stop killing people. Somebody who is supposed to buy just an insecticide, we could not afford it because of poverty. So rather, he remove orange skin and set it on fire as mosquito coil. Forgetting that, the mosquito itself like to eat oranges. So the smoke from the orange skin gets into the nose again, causing no problem, all because of poverty. The seventh reason why we need to receive deliverance, financial deliverance, is to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. Treasures for ourselves in heaven. It is your redemptive right to possess your possession. And it is time for you to begin to realize that God in his own arithmetic does not mind withdrawing things from the unbelievers and giving it to his children. Why do men suffer from financial bondage? There are many reasons why men suffer from financial bondage. Let me quickly run through them before we now go into the deliverance proper. The first reason why men are in financial bondage is generational curse. If, as you are sitting right here, you find that there is poverty in your generation, you find that as far as you can remember, everyone that you know was your forefathers was in poverty. You should pray with the anger of a mad prophet here tonight. Pray with the anger of a violent lion. Because there is a curse you need to break. A curse you need to break. And for you to make a declaration that others may have been following this pattern, but my case is different. Number two reason for financial bondage is wrong foundation. Very wrong foundation. Bible says if the foundation be destroyed, what can electors do? Wrong foundation. Wrong business foundation. Wrong academic foundation. Wrong certificate foundation. Wrong marital foundation. The third reason is too much responsibilities. Look after this, look after that, look after this, send it to school, send it to school, send it to school. So you are too much. Four, it's unwise investment. You have invested into a thing that God did not ask you to invest into. Now there is a problem. Five, laziness. Six,
living beyond your means. You want to let people think that you have arrived. Perhaps you have not arrived in anywhere. Living beyond your means. 7. Stealing and sharp practices. 8. Wrong job, wrong work, wrong business. And many are in the wrong job, they're in the wrong work, they're in the wrong business, and they're praying that God should touch that business he has them to do. In fact, it doesn't happen that way. Now, lack of saving. Some people don't save anything. They just spend anything they have. No. And they say, let us start contributing, save this number month by month, month by month. You'll be the first person to come and break the circle. Fem. When somebody has more expenditure than income, these kind of things, they put people in financial bondage. 11. When you are stealing from God by not giving your tithes and offering, you are putting yourself in serious financial bondage. Read your Bible very well. All successful men in the Bible were men who paid their tithes. 12. Failure to honor pledges is a problem. We lead to financial bondage. 13. Tight-fistedness. You are tight-fisted. And stinginess. They will only lead the person to poverty. 14. Disobedience to God's leading. God is leading you, but you are disobeying. It will lead to poverty. Living in debt. The debtor is always a slave. It will bring financial bondage. 16. Negative confessions. When you are using your own mouth to run your own finances down and speaking poverty into your own system, then you are into financial bondage. And 17, demonic activities, they can cause it so that the person will be poor. How do you now obtain financial freedom? There are two ways you obtain your financial freedom. Number one, through your work. Two, through your giving to God. Financial freedom through your work. Financial freedom through giving to God. The Bible says, he who does not work must not eat. Man must work and work hard. God did not place man here to be lazy and indolent and jobless. So number one condition for deliverance from financial bondage is work, work. That your work must be God's idea. That work must have a future. Then the second method of receiving deliverance from financial bondage is through your giving. Many people have come to financial ruin simply because they don't give or they don't give enough. Our experience as ministers, that in most cases, the women give more than the men. Most men give grudgingly and do it with string attached. If God finds that he cannot withdraw from you, he will stop depositing in you. God expects you to pay your tithes, your offering, to sow seeds, to do your first fruit. God expects you to sow into the ministry. God expects you to promote the gospel. God expects you to take action with what he has given to you. This is the situation in which we find ourselves now. If we say we belong to God, it is logical that everything we have belongs to him. When we are giving to God, beloved, we are just taking our hands off what belongs to him. If we cheat God and you say you are economizing to poverty, and your use of money shows what you think of God. How does he say, I can't pay my tithes. The problem they have is not money. The problem is spiritual blindness. This is the truth, beloved. He who serves God because of money, even because of money, somebody is serving God, he will serve the devil for bigger wages. When God gives you a talent and then you decide to commercialize it, what is commercial? Very soon you notice that everything you gather commercially with God's talent will give you nothing. If you cannot give, God understands. If you can't give and you won't give, God knows too. But the principles of God are unchanging, and they work because they are God's law for the universe. Just as gravity is a law, whatever you throw up will come down. If you learn to abound in giving, you will be blessed. That's why you have some unbelievers who have money. They call themselves philanthropists. They help others. And since they are doing that without money, and it's a law that God has put down, then they key into that eternal law and they begin to prosper in it. While believers begin to suffer. What are the steps to financial freedom? Number one, you must aggressively and violently deal with the power of poverty. Two, you must never allow money to be number one in your life. Number one, you must deal with the power of poverty. Number two, you must not allow money to be number one in your life. Number three, avoid debt. Avoid debt. The debtor is always a slave. Number four, seek God's leading in what you are doing. Seek God's leading in what you are doing. Don't just do anything. Pray, get a leading before you start. Number five, high integrity and honesty must be in everything you are doing so that you can have your financial freedom. And then what must you do? You should give unto God as documented and as enjoined in scripture. As enjoined and put down in scripture. The Bible says you must give thankfully, you must give systematically, you must give lovingly. You must give proportionately to what you have. You must give unselfishly when you are giving to God. Many, many multi-millionaires, multi-billionaires are in the house of God counting marbles because they don't know these principles or they don't follow it. And they'll be surprised on the last day when they get to God and God says, you're supposed to build this, you're supposed to do that, you're supposed to do this, but you did not do it. And God will say, I'll pass this person to you, I'll pass this person to you, but because you yourself, in the name where you are, those people died in their problems. You need to aggressively demand your financial freedom, because if you are not financially free, you are not free. And when, no matter what idea you have, your biggest idea cannot succeed without money. And if you allow the devil to be stealing your money, it can paralyze your life. If you don't tie down what God has given to you and make sure the enemy does not steal it, the enemy will take it away. I want you to understand all these principles tonight. We have prayers to pray on these facts. But the first thing I want you to do is to bow down your heads where you are and confess any sin that has to do with finances to the Lord. Perhaps you are one of those who don't even pay your tithes. Don't give any offering. You come to the Lord empty. Or you give the Lord a tip. You give the God a tip as if you are tipping a beggar. This is a very serious matter. But if you will confess your sins to the Lord and promise that you will be his partner and do a restitution, you'll be amazed at what the Lord will do with your life. It is a tragedy when you are supposed to be a mountain mover, but the hands with which you move the mountain have been cut off by poverty. Ask him to forgive you. Well, you have made a pledge, you didn't fulfill the pledge, you open your mouth and made a vow, you broke the vow, ask him to forgive you. If you have made a pledge, you have not fulfilled it, make a promise before the Lord on what you are going to do. If you have been stealing your past, stealing your offering, you better desist from it as from today, so that good things will begin to happen to you. Thank you, Jesus. Rise up on your feet, my brother. In case you are here tonight, and you are not born again, you have not just surrendered your life to Jesus, whenever you are, while all eyes are closed, just raise up your right hand and say what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now, Lord Jesus. Come into my life. Take control of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you say that short prayer with me, maybe we could just find a way to the altar here. so that we can pray now with you. Now listen, beloved. And some serious prayers the Holy Ghost wants us to pray today. There are thousands of sisters here whose virtues have been stolen away. There are thousands of brothers here whose virtues have been stolen away. There are many here who are doing the wrong jobs, in the wrong business. And this is why nothing is happening there. There are plenty of people whose anointing for wealth have been stolen, transferred, buried, or destroyed. We will start the prayer from the foundation. Please, I beg you, don't allow anybody's voice to overshadow you, because the result of the prayer we're going to pray tonight will begin to manifest as from tonight. Say this after me loud and clear, louder than anyone around you. Foundational poverty. You are a liar. Speak, speak from your heart. That's why Jesus brought you here. Don't negotiate with the spirit of poverty. Borrabo sopende keyabo shente yaba. No, ha, that's a teka. Ribo sopende keyaba. In Jesus. I wish you could see what's happening over there. There is a sister over there. Immediately we started praying, there is a trailer that was coming up from under the ground. It was loaded with so many things. So sister, don't relax. Pray until the whole of that trailer comes out. Everybody will shout this loud and clear. My wife, buried in the earth. Can you shout this loud and clear? Come forth in the name of Jesus. Command for comfort. Yes. Of the living God. Yes. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. My wife burning in the ground, burning in the heart. Comfort, 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 comfort. Mashika ribo sopendeya. Raboko sopende kaya bo shenta. Bariboko po sente ya bo shenta. In Jesus' name we pray. What a strange vision. A strange vision. The Lord took me back to when somebody here was born. I could see the midwife as they brought you out of the womb. They, instead of washing the blood, they were leaking the blood, because they were told that you carried weight. They were leaking the blood. You sense loud and clear. Every hour of witchcraft fired into my prosperity. I'm happy now. I see many dead businesses coming back to life now. Shout this again loud and clear. Current of poverty. Cash fire. In the name of Jesus. That's right. The demon must cash fire. You 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 must cash fire. Aha, aha. In Jesus' name we pray. Now this particular prayer, the Lord said, as a result of this prayer, many standing here today will have a 24-hour financial breakthrough. So you financial killer of my father's house. Can you shout it with only anger? Sisters, say this after me. Say expected and unexpected financial breakthrough. And I hear the sister saying this again. But I shouted with only anger. One month before we go on, poverty activator dreams. The dream comes, it brings in poverty. It's an attack on the kingdom of darkness. Poverty activator dreams. Yes, yes, yes. Today is today. Something positive must happen in your destiny. Something positive must happen in your destiny. For the glory of the name of the Lord. In Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And let's share the grace in fellowship.